Welcome to a Monday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Roberts, and in today's show, I'll be looking at the Week 6 Fantasy Basketball schedule and also the rankings. To help me to do that, today I'm joined by JJ Calley, who you can find on Twitter at JJ Calley Jr. JJ, welcome back from the holidays.
Greetings, Mark.
It's good to have you. It's good to be able to talk basketball again.
Yeah, I can't wait. Let's get to it.
Yeah, no kidding. Like I said, we're going to talk about the week six schedule and the rankings here. Before we get started, is there anything Knicks related you want to tell us?
When we last spoke, they were 8-6, and after tonight, they're 8-10. So,
not a great week.
No, not at all. So that's what I was ready for that to happen, and it happened. So I'm not surprised.
That's right. You were cautiously pessimistic.
I think I was realistic.
Okay. Well, Porzingis hasn't been because Porzingis has disappeared though.
That's accurate. Yeah. It's been
which has got to be reassuring.
It's nice to see that he's playing well and he hasn't hit a wall yet and he's getting more minutes, and I think that's because Fisher came out and said that Porzingis is conditioned well enough that he can play him those extensive minutes. So he's going to, but on the flip side of that, it's taking away minutes from someone like Kyle Quinn, who I root for on a daily basis.
They can play those two together though, right? It's not one or the other.
Yeah. I think you're right on that one, but
I mean, Fisher's not doing it, but that's not Porzingis' fault.
No. It's Fisher. He likes to run 13 man rotations. So everyone's going to get a piece of the pie.
Just like all the other successful coaches in the NBA run, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Also, JJ, I have to congratulate you. Last week, you nailed it with the Knicks when we did our Bet DSI discussion. You said take the Heat. You didn't even really look at the points. You said just take the Heat, and you were dead on. So anybody that took your advice there won some money.
Yes, they should. I think the Knicks lost by double digits twice to the Heat last week. So if you saw it coming at the beginning of the week, you should have bet it again at the end of the week.
Yeah, you could have taken your $10, doubled it up twice, and then you could have done anything you wanted this weekend, the party.
Yeah, or Black Friday shopping.
Yeah, absolutely. That's even better. Did you go out for Black Friday this year?
Nope. No, thank you. There's just too many options online to bother going to a store at 4 or 5 in the morning. Or is it 3 now? I don't remember. It's early enough.
Too confusing for me. Speaking of BetDSI, they are once again this week a sponsor of the podcast, which is very exciting. Just to remind all of you, BetDSI is an online sports book that focuses on their customers and most importantly on ease and speed of payments. So they are also one of the most well-respected online sports books. They currently have an A+ sports book rating. They offer a wide range of sports, everything from NBA and NFL to international sports like rugby and soccer, even politics. JJ, we were talking about the lines right before we started this podcast. I think the most intriguing game of Monday night slate is Golden State, Utah. That's the game I think everybody's going to be watching to see if this is the night that I kind of feel like this is a game people have circled for a while as like a potential trip up game for Golden State on the road in Utah, kind of a frisky defensive team to see if they could lose. First of all, I want you to see if what you would guess the line would be on this game.
I think I know Harrison Barnes isn't going to play.
Yep.
And I believe Derek Favors will be available, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, he sat out over the weekend for personal reasons, which I still haven't heard any details there, but I think he should be. He practiced. I think he'll be back.
Okay, I'm going to err on the side of the Jazz and say it's single digits, and I'll go 9 points.
That's very close. Okay. The Jazz, so you're saying Golden State favored by 9?
Yeah.
It's actually even smaller than that. It's Golden State by 7.5.
Okay.
So they're giving Utah a lot of credit there. which side would you go on if you theoretically had 10 BetDSI dollars to use?
I say throw it on the Jazz. I think, at some point they have to, the Warriors have to stop winning. So
why would not you take it? Would you take the Jazz straight up?
Like no,
no. those 7.5 points are enough to sway you.
Yeah, I will take the points in this one. What about you?
I think it sounds stupid, I guess, but I watched a couple of Golden State games over the holidays, and man, like Curry is just so darn good. Like I don't know how you can bet against Golden State until they actually lose. I feel like they could. I feel like at this point they could beat any team in the league by 20 points.
Yeah, I didn't think that they don't have anyone. Not that many teams do, but anyone that can stop Curry.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I mean, Neto, I know rates high defensively. It's a whole scheme, and I guess if anybody could do it, Utah is rated as good defensively as anybody. But it's not like Gobert is going to be guarding Curry. You know what I mean?
I like to see that for a few.
That would be a fun strategy if they tried that out. No, there's just no way in good conscience I could go against Golden State at this point. That's probably wrong. I think probably the smart money is to go on with Utah. I think you're probably going with the smart play there because, like you said, at some point they're going to lose. Utah's a tough place to play. They're a tough defensive team. But I just, after watching Golden State play, like I'm just not sure there's anybody that can stop them. And I feel like they can score whenever they want and however many points they want. The best news of all of this, this BetDSI sponsorship, JJ, is that just by listening to this podcast, you get a free bonus $10 by using the offer code HOOPS10. That's HOOPS10. And just a reminder for anybody out there, if you feel like you have a gambling problem, please contact Responsible Gambling for assistance. All right. You ready to talk about the schedule?
Absolutely. What do you got?
All right. Well, let's first take a look at the week 6 schedule. And the thing I always look for when I look at the schedule first is who's got 2 games. So you can see the Hornets. Got it up on the screen here. The Hornets and the Timberwolves both play only 2 games next week. On the opposite end, nobody has more than 4 games. So occasionally we look for those teams with 5 games, but most teams have 2, 3, or 4, but the Hornets and Timberwolves have 2 games. So let's talk quickly about those 2 teams and the rankings for their players. So we jump back over to the dailyfantasybasketballpodcast.com. There is a post here called Week 6 Rankings. You can see all the players ranked 1 to 400 for just Week 6 to help you set your lineups. But there is also a second tab for players, the rankings for all the players on those 2 teams, on the Hornets and on the Timberwolves. So we jump over there. You can see the top two ranked players on this list are Kemba Walker and Nicholas Batum. But they're both in the 130s. If you were in a weekly locks league, JJ, are there any of these guys that you feel like is a must start?
I think first you have to look at their opponents, and the Hornets are playing the Warriors this week and the Bulls. And those two are top, I want to say 6 defenses. If we talk per possession.
Okay.
So it makes it difficult for me to just say blatantly say go ahead and use them, but I don't know if Al Jefferson's going to play this week, and that's going to mean more shots for Batum and Walker. I would consider Walker or Batum this week, but I don't think it's a no brainer.
Yeah, and probably the highest ranked guy on Minnesota is Karl-Anthony Towns. What do you think about him?
Sam Mitchell has kind of, brought back his minutes over the last few games. So it makes it difficult to, with certainty, throw them out there. But the Timberwolves, they play the Magic and the Blazers this week. And I don't know, Mark, if you remember how Towns did last time he played the Magic. But it was – oh, yeah, certainly. So this kind of led to the whole Scott Skiles tinkering of the lineups. Karl Anthony Towns scored 21 points, had 12 rebounds, and had 6 blocks. And he just destroyed Nikola Vucevic that night. But then you look at the Timberwolves' other opponent, the Trailblazers. Towns picked up 5 fouls against them. So you have kind of high risk, high reward with Towns this week. And I would probably lean toward not starting him if I had better options, because Sam Mitchell is reigning in the minutes.
Yeah, what's going on there? Like, why is he dropping his minutes? Has he said anything specifically?
I read that he doesn't want to put too much tread on tires early on the season for Towns. And in the last, I think the previous 2 games, they played today, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, so before today, he just said that he went with his best lineup at the time, and he felt that Jang was playing better defense, and that he was able to help in the pick and roll against Jeff Teague, and I'm trying to remember who the other point guard was, but he just went with the guys out there who were playing well, and they beat the Hawks. I don't remember how the other game turned out, but
he just kind of went. They lost on Sunday to the Clippers,
right? And Towns only played 26 minutes.
Yep,
he played well though. So,
if Sam Mitchell doesn't think that Karl Anthony Towns is one of his best players,
well, he just said for that game that he was kind of riding the lineup that was already out there, and Towns was on the bench, so he went with it. That's not an everyday thing, but it happened 2 games in a row, so it's really concerning at that point.
Yeah, that is concerning. I agree. I think you're probably leaving Towns out. I don't see anybody else. I mean, Mulligans is probably another guy that you could think about playing. He comes out as 202nd in the week 6 rankings, so I'm probably leaving him out of my lineup if I have a option. Yeah, Walker and Batum, I think, are maybe plays, but not definitely. You have to play them. I don't see anybody else I would probably even consider playing in that group. Like you mentioned, we'll get to this a little bit later, but Al Jefferson is out or is hurt. And he may or may not be back.
Correct. And you're telling me you're not going to play Nemanja Bjelica this week? Really?
It would be a rather deep league before I decided to put him in my lineup.
All right. Your loss.
we're going to have to organize a, no halftime challenge with Bleacha.
I can't wait.
JJ, I forgot to mention all the big news of the day.
Well, yeah, sure. Let's. What big news are you?
Can we back up?
Certainly.
Yeah. So, obviously, the big news of the day is Kobe Bryant has announced his retirement from the NBA.
So he's done?
Effective at the end of this season. Do you have any take on that?
Well, this kind of hits me hard, Mark. As you know, he was one of my favorite players pre-Colorado. So I was in his corner until then. But I'm thinking that he's probably going to get voted into the All-Star game now. I think...
He probably would have anyway, I would guess.
Probably, but I think this cements it, and that kind of that eliminates someone.
Yeah, we really need to stop using the All-Star game, like the number of times a player's been in the All-Star game as a like a mark for how good that player is.
You're telling me Jamal McGlure wasn't a good player?
No. I'm not making a statement either way on him. I'm just saying Kobe Bryant, when they say that he's an 18-time All-Star or a 19-time All-Star, maybe some of those some of those seasons are a little different than some of those other seasons.
Especially the last 2.
Exactly.
But I guess we can start talking about him now, but the Lakers are playing, I believe it's 10 games in 15 days starting tonight, so Sunday. And 9 of those games are road games. So you figure he's at least going to want to play in the road games so that the fans who pay to watch him play actually get to see him. And that's going to take away minutes from the younger guys. So he's, you assume he plays, what, 20, 25 minutes a night as a showcase maybe in those road games, and then they take him out?
Do you really think that they'll limit his minutes?
To make sure he gets through this season, I think you have to. Otherwise, because if you look at this stretch coming up, he's going to tire himself out before he gets to game three if he just plays every night.
There's just nothing in his career history that suggests that he's going to pace himself.
I guess it also depends on Byron Scott.
I don't think Byron Scott decides. I don't think he has any say in how many minutes Kobe plays.
So he's not the captain then? Is that what you're telling me?
I think he coaches the rest of the players, and I think Kobe Bryant decides what he's going to do.
Okay, well, I think I even saw a quote from
the coach tonight that said basically, benching Kobe is not an option, which I think a lot of people took as, like, there's no way I'm going to do that to Kobe Bryant. I took it as, I don't even have the choice to bench Kobe Bryant. I'm not really his coach.
Okay, so we're in the third quarter now, and you haven't looked at the score, I don't think, but he's played a team-high 21 minutes, and he's taking 15 shots so far. How many of those shots do you think went in?
Three.
Two. So let's say he gets to 30 minutes tonight, and then he keeps playing 30 minutes the rest of the week.
Wait, I would have never guessed that I would have been high on that.
Well, it was either 14 or 2. Like, there was no in between there.
Oh my goodness. I think this probably does mean he plays a few more games than he would have before. I think he plays the same amount of minutes as he's been playing. And I think it changes anybody's fantasy value drastically, but it probably does limit both the touches and the minutes a guy like D'Angelo Russell gets, which is, you know, a little too bad, but I think that's what we're going to get with Kobe going forward. I think he's going to play a lot of games and a lot of minutes. And if you're not worried about percentages and turnovers, he's probably going to be sort of valuable on your fantasy team. You know, he can get you 16 to 18 points a game and maybe 3 or 4 rebounds, 3 or 4 assists, a steal, and a 3-pointer a game. That's, if you're not worried about field goal percentage, then that's probably a pretty useful player. The other thing I want to talk to you about before we got too deep into the schedule talk, JJ, was I saw a couple of starting lineup shifts, and I wanted to get your take on them. Milwaukee Bucks started Gerald Bayless and OJ Mayo and put Michael Carter-Williams and Jabari Parker on the bench in their most recent game. Do you think that that's something that will continue?
I don't think it will continue for the rest of the season. I think it's going to stick for at least a few more games while Kidd irons out his rotations and figures out how he wants to, or even if the team can start competing, because I think before tonight they were routinely getting blown out. And I think they only lost by 5 or 6 against the Hornets on Sunday. Bayless and Mayo help stretch the floor much better than Williams and Parker. And I think, like, even Parker's been playing better defense this season, and he's never going to be accused of, you know, a sort of a defensive player of the year type guy, but at least he was trying on that end. Michael Carter-Williams
is he droppable? Like, would you consider dropping MCW?
In most circumstances, yes. I think anyone
would you drop him for Gerald Bayless.
The silence is me thinking why I wouldn't, and I can't come up with a reason. And I don't. He's playing much better, Bayless. That is, and Carter Williams is like accounting stats guy, right? So but he's not shooting as many 3-pointers, and he's not posting up as much this year. So his field goal percentage isn't as good. And Monroe is, you know, siphoning a lot of those assists and those rebounds that Carter Williams would have had otherwise. So so Williams is kind of out there just there, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't think I think he played what, 13 minutes 13 or something?
13 minutes, yep.
And that's with Bayless playing 43.
Bayless and OJ Mayo barely subbed out of the game. They both played over 43 minutes.
Hmm. Okay, well, this isn't sustainable, like running those guys out there that many minutes.
I don't think OJ Mayo is going to play 44 minutes for the rest of the season.
I would not like to see that.
You would take the under?
Most definitely. Yeah, I think I in my head, my 12-team head-to-head league, Michael Carter-Williams was dropped last week, and I picked him up. I had last waiver priority. I threw a waiver claim in him, and he reached me, and he wound up on my team because no one else wanted him, and then I dropped him today because he just wasn't helping. So I got rid of him, and that's in a league where I'm concerned about free throw percentage. And he's not bad this year with the Bucks at all, but and this was a game without Grievous Vasquez as well. So Bayless's minutes are going to come down, and so will Mayo's, and Michael Carter-Williams just has to get right, and I don't feel like waiting around for him to do that. And that's assuming he was a good basketball player before this year.
Which we still don't really have any evidence of.
Well, he has the hardware.
So. Can I throw one more lineup change at you and get your take on it? Yes. Clint Capella moved into the Rockets starting lineup. And after the change was made, Coach J.B. Bickerstaff said that it was not due to a matchup with the Sixers, which was when the change was made when they played the Sixers. He said that will continue as going forward. And that they continued that lineup against your Knicks on Sunday. Capella's played pretty well since he's moved into the starting lineup. I mean, he's played pretty well all season in limited minutes, but now he's played 25 minutes against Philadelphia, played 36 minutes against New York. He got a double-double in both games. We know he can block a lot of shots. I tweeted out that I thought he is a must add. Do you agree?
Negative.
Okay.
And I will give my caveat.
Okay.
It's because he's shooting 50% from the free throw line. So in my roto league, I'm not going to bother. In a head-to-head league, then I'll pounce. So he's not a must add. Just it depends on the circumstance in the league settings.
Mm-hmm. But, and even in a roto league, I don't think I guess the only thing I would throw out there is his 47% or his 48% is not the same as Dwight Howard's 47 or 48%. Like, he's not shooting the volume of free throws that
Howard has. If I had to guess, I'd say they're right around the same amount of attempts per game. And that's thrown a dart against the wall.
Thus far, Capella's averaging 2 free throws a game.
Okay, and Howard's what, 4-ish?
In limited minutes. Howard is 5.
Oh, okay. So when
in fairness to you, Capella's going to get more as his minutes go up.
Right.
So
I kind of, I was saying, okay, yeah, I was way off on that one. But Capella attempted 8 today.
Yeah.
4. So, and that was in 36 minutes.
Yeah, that's definitely something to be worried about. But as far as a guy who's going to get you a lot of blocks and a lot of rebounds and has scored more than I expected him to, I think Capella is a great option to add.
Yeah, he's catching a lot of lobs from James Harden right at the basket. So,
I think.
I didn't mean to be flippant about it. He in a head-to-head league, he makes much more sense than he would in a rotisserie league.
Yeah, and I think, you make a good point to be wary of the free throws, but I just think, unless you're really concerned about that category, either in a roto league or in a head-to-head league, I think you've got to add this guy. This is not a fluke, is all I'm saying. I tweeted about this guy and talked about him in before the season start. His per possession numbers are off the charts, and if he's going to get some run, or even if there's a possibility that he's going to get starters level minutes, I think he's a must add. I don't have it right in front of me, but his per possession numbers were in line with, but better than Rudy Gobert's from last season. So definitely.
So that means, so pick him up.
Yeah.
The bottom line.
If you would have wanted Rudy Gobert last year, I think you pick up Capella this year and hope that a similar outcome happens, because I think he has the same talent level.
Let me flip it around then.
Yeah.
Ability to produce statistically on the same level.
Yeah. Because I think like Whiteside and Gobert, I don't think are the same talent level, but I think statistically they do very similar things. So I think Capella could be in that same group. So sorry, go ahead with your Monty.
Okay. So he is going to get examined on Tuesday in hopes of being cleared for practice. He's going to add to the front court congestion. And we also have Terrence Jones. So I guess the play right now is ride Capella as long as he's in the starting lineup or as long as he's getting starter level minutes. Now, what do we do with Terrence Jones? And do we not go after Capella? Because if Monta Ellis starts playing at the end of the week, is that a no-no? Or is that something we just wait for?
I guess right now I'm picking him up and waiting and seeing what happens. Like, I think he's that good that you just kind of cross your fingers that it works for you. That you make a good point that it's not a sure thing. That a lot of, he could end up fourth or fifth big guy on the depth chart. There's no question about it. But I think you pick him up. You know, he's going to play for a little while, and you just hope that it lasts. And if it doesn't, then I guess you can drop him from there. I think that the Rockets are finding out that he's just too good to not play, though. Like, he's been getting minutes. He's averaging 18 minutes this season as a backup. That's a pretty high level for a backup player. I just think that they're having a hard time keeping him off the floor. I'm okay moving on from Jones at this point. I don't think he's a must drop, but I don't think he's a must keep either. Like, I would drop Jones for Capella if I had Jones. And I think you just see how it plays out from there. And if it doesn't work out, well, you took a chance on a guy with a really high up, with a real high ceiling, and you struck out, and you just take another chance with another guy. I don't think the downside is so severe that it's not worth the risk.
Yeah, I will say that I was reading, I think it was the Houston Chronicle today, and JB Bickerstaff said that he likes Capella next to Dwight Howard because Capella has the tools to play defense on the perimeter. So he can go out and guard those, stretch fours. And then when Dwight comes out of the game, then he can move him closer to the rim when Jones comes in. So he's going to have a lot of leeway in terms of minutes. And I think even when Monta Ellis comes back, that one's kind of tricky to me, but since he hasn't been cleared yet, it's not something to worry about.
Right. Yeah. So I guess the point is I'd pause the podcast right now and go pick up Capella in your league. I think there's a chance that he's a top, 50 player for the rest of the season. Certainly not guaranteed because the minutes aren't guaranteed, but we just know the production is there. He's showed it in limited minutes. He's shown it in big minutes, and there's a chance he's going to get those big minutes. So take a chance on him. Go pick him up. I'd pick him up. I've got him. I picked him up or put in a waiver claim everywhere he was available. And I think it's going to pay. I think there's a very good chance it pays off.
All right. And I'll just add before we move on that it was an overtime game today. That's why he played 36 minutes. Otherwise, I think it would have been closer to it still would have been over 30, but it's not really indicative of what they're expecting from him. So,
yeah, no, I think the 25 minutes against Philadelphia is maybe closer to what you could expect from him, but he scored 13 points and had 10 rebounds and 2 blocks in those 25 minutes. So if his playing time is 25 to 28 minutes, I think that's just fine for him.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, the Sixers get blocked more than any other team in the league. So I think he probably should have gone for 5 blocks against them, if not more.
It certainly can make that case.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on and talk about the schedule a little bit. You went through the schedule a little closer than we did to begin this podcast, and you looked for some of the quirks in the schedule. We talked about the two game teams already. Are there any other quirks that you saw on the schedule that you think we need to be aware of? You mentioned the Lakers, I guess, already, the 10 games in 15 days, which is something to definitely be aware of with Kobe. But is there anything else that you saw as you looked through it?
I found everything in the schedule.
Awesome.
Yeah. So
lay it on us.
Gladly. So there's every day this week, we have at least 5 games, but no more than 10 games. So it's a good helping every night. And that's kind of like
from a quality game standpoint.
That means that on most nights, you will have an empty spot on your active roster this week. You can go through and check tonight or tomorrow. But I think for the most part, because the games are so spread out, even on the night with 10 games, you might have one available spot in your active roster. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we're looking for. Another thing that I found is that there are 6 games on Friday. And that has only I checked last year's schedule. That only happened once, because for the most part, we're expecting 10 or 12 games on a Friday night. So that really stuck out to me, Mark. Mm. Yeah.
I also appreciated your note that you sent me about the on Thursday, the Kings and Celtics. Is this true? This game's in Mexico City?
Yeah. Yes. The Thursday night. It's technically a Kings home game, but it's being played in Mexico City.
Interesting. So,
yeah.
I wish I had something intelligent to say about Mexico City games, because they played a few. I guess they had to cancel the one a few. Was it last year or 2 years ago?
Was it because the court was too slippery, or because the air conditioning didn't work?
I think it was the slippery court. Okay. I think it was a Minnesota Timberwolves game.
The fog, right? The fog.
I can't remember. I guess
I think the fire extinguisher or something went out, and then I think there was a fire, and then the smoke came on the court, and they couldn't play because of it, and then the game got delayed. Okay, so some more things I was looking at a little further ahead. The Washington Wizards, starting on Tuesday, they play 9 games in 14 days. They've been scuffling lately, so either it's going to help or it's going to hurt all those games. But they're not going to have a lot of practice time to iron out the kinks. And I don't think
they're a candidate for like a lineup change too. Like, as we're starting to see some teams make lineup adjustments, a team with that many games, that many days, that's been struggling, unless mm-hmm. they start righting the ship, like the coach doesn't really have any other options but to change the lineup.
Right, but isn't I'm trying to think because Jared Dudley is started in the last game over Humphreys because Nene wasn't available. And if Nene's not going to be available for a majority of this, because they don't have Gary Neal. I think he wasn't mm-hmm. available in the last game. And Alan Anderson is out too. So they're really short on bench players. Who would you see possibly as a candidate moving into the starting lineup? Because Drew Gooden has also been out too.
Well, I mean, I don't know who you consider their starter, if it's Humphreys or Dudley, but I feel like they could go with either one of those guys.
Oh, so like a matchup kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think he's coming off the bench to give Gortat a blow because they don't have a backup center. And I think that was kind of their Humphreys.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah, so I guess just be aware of any shenanigans. He has, but he's also been playing some decent defense, and I think he's been sapping a lot of his energy on that side of the court.
Yeah,
and that's why he's not shooting as well. But again, you got to be careful with, just like Mark said, be careful or keep an eye out for what the Wizards and the Lakers do over the next 2 weeks, because they have a lot of games.
Who knows what the Lakers will do?
Touche. And another thing. So I believe either starting Sunday night or Monday night, the Bucks and the Suns, they play 5 games in 7 nights. And we know that the Bucks are going through turmoil right now, and they're changing their lineups. And the Suns are without Tyson Chandler. And I don't know how long he's going to be out for, but it's a hamstring. So those 5 games could be something for, I guess, you could use that to your advantage. Like pick up someone like John Lohr, Mirza Teletovic, TJ Warren, based on the schedule.
Alex Len filled in for Tyson Chandler on Sunday night.
And how well did he perform? Because I know
Hornets had 8 points and 7 rebounds and maybe a block or something, which is exactly, I think, what you would have expected from him.
Yeah, he did. Like, they, even when Chandler was healthy, the center, like him and Len, weren't getting 48 minutes. They were getting like 40 minutes a night.
Right.
That's just.
Len played 28 minutes. He had 8 points, seven rebounds, and he did not have a block. He had one assist.
Right. Okay. But we already, Mark already recommended you pick up Capella and not worry about Len. So that's just going to be the go-to line for the rest of the episode. So get used to it.
I didn't say the thing about Len. Well, I would pick up Capella first. Len's ceiling is much lower than Capella's, but if you needed, I don't know, if you needed somebody for those five games, if you needed 35 rebounds, I think he's a good candidate for it. He'll probably get you some blocks too.
Yeah, that their five games begins on Tuesday. Okay. The 5 games and 7 nights begins Tuesday. Okay, so let's speed this up, or let's see what else I got here. So streaming, right? You want to talk about streaming?
Yes, let's talk about streaming.
All right, so daily moves leagues where you get to maximize your games. We talked about I went through my head-to-head team, my roster for this week, just to see what kind of disparity I would have. And every night, like I was mentioning before, I have at least one empty spot on the active roster. That's because all the games are spread out. So theoretically, you know, if I wasn't capped, which I am on Yahoo, which is 4 moves a week, I believe. But is how many moves do you know what the standard for ESPN is? Do you know? Is it 7? Something like that?
I think it's either 4 or 3. I can't remember.
Okay, yeah. So if you're limited,
is it 7?
I don't know.
The league I play in that has capped moves is 4, but I'm not sure if that's standard or not.
I'm trying to think of what the standard is. I thought it was 7, but I'm not sure. So if you want to maximize your games and you look through your lineup and you see that on most nights that you're going to have empty spots on there and you want to churn out players so that you can increase your probability of winning by, you know, adding those stats, what I would do, right, Mark, are you with me?
I'm with you.
I would look at who played.
It's like my favorite thing you share with us every week.
Okay, so I'm looking for pairs or groups of teams that play on back-to-back days throughout the week. And so I found Monday and Tuesday, we have the Mavericks and the Blazers play on those 2 days, right? So if I was listening to this and I thought, I know JJ Barea, he's not going to play for, I think, the next 2 games, and Chandler Parsons is probably going to miss one of those 2 games because it's a back-to-back, I might go pick up Raymond Felton or Dwight Powell for those 2 games, Monday, Tuesday. And then after that, I would use one of my ad drops. And then I look at Wednesday and Thursday, right? Those are the next 2 days. We got clusters. Nuggets, Pacers, Spurs, and Raptors all play on those 2 days. So, Mark, what would be the next logical move there?
So I'm thinking you're dropping your Raymond Felton because you feel dirty that he's on your roster.
Right. But I used him with a purpose.
Right. So you got two games out of him in 2 days, and then you're picking up, I don't know, Patty Mills or something.
Yeah, right. So you pick up, let's say Gary Harris clears concussion protocol or something, right? Yeah. Or Nikola Jokic is out there and you want to go back-to-back. So now my team has played 4 games with this one roster spot, right? And so we get through Thursday. I've loaded up those 4 games. Then Friday is kind of like an in-between game or an in-between day. You can pick someone up if you want, or you can make another move there if you want. But then you look to the weekend. We have the Warriors and the Kings. Now I drop my Patty Mills or whoever I picked up for the middle of the week, so that I could latch on to maybe Brandon Rush, because Harrison Barnes is not going to be available for the first 3 games, and he might return on Sunday. We're not sure yet. Or maybe I pick up Omri Caspi. And now, instead of picking someone up at the beginning of the week who's going to play 4 games, I've now used 2 or 3 moves to pick up 3 players who added 6 games to my team. So that's if you're capped, then that's the strategic way to go about it, right? If you're not capped, then you can add and drop someone every single night and pick and choose. But it allows you to at least increase the amount of games that you're playing in a week. And it it kind of guards against like picking up one guy for the week who's going to play four games. And then let's say they get injured and then they only play one or two games. So you're churning through these games that are played, but it requires a little bit of strategery because you have to make sure that whoever you're adding is going to be that you can add them or you can play them on your active roster.
You're kind of like Frankensteining this three-headed monster of Raymond Felton, Gary Harris, and Brandon Rush, which you would never pick up any of those guys to just hold for an entire week. But if you're getting six games out of them, it sort of makes sense.
Right. Yeah. So that was the long-winded version of saying, look at the schedule and take advantage of it. And that was just a little demonstration for the listeners.
No, but you took us a step further than just telling them to look at the schedule. You're giving us... Like, I love when you point out those pairings for us of who's playing back-to-back on Mondays or on the end of the week.
Yeah. Another thing. Like, we talk about quality games. Mm-hmm. So, let's say you waste all your ad drops on Monday because you have a whole bunch of injuries or something. You would look to either, I'm looking here, like the Nets, the Mavericks, the Lakers, Grizzlies, the Suns, the Wizards. They all play four or three games this week, but three of their games are on nights with less than six games. So you're guaranteed to get whoever you add from in a standard league with 10 active roster spots, you're guaranteed to at least have them play a game for you. So that's another way to go about it if you want. And yeah, that is it. That is all I've finished. It's done.
I think that's great advice there for, yeah. As we go through the schedule.
Did you have any questions or do you want to add anything to that?
No.
Okay.
No, it looks great to me. I was just looking at the rest of the back-to-backs. I'm trying to think if there are, and maybe you already know this, are there players that we need to be aware of that are on back-to-backs? Like if we look at my week six rankings, there's a lot of players that if they're not injured, I'm assuming are playing all of their games. I'm not going through and moving them out of the rankings. Like I'm thinking like a Chandler Parsons, or you mentioned Chandler Parsons who might sit out the back end of a back-to-back. Are there other players that you feel like maybe we need to be aware of who could sit out back-to-back games?
I'm glad you asked, Mark. So yes, Chandler Parsons, he hasn't played back-to-back yet this week and the Mavericks play at the beginning. Like I said, so that's what that would be one reason to pick up Ray Felton and stream him through. Houston Rockets. So they're playing five games in seven nights, which would begin tonight, which is Sunday against the Knicks. Now, Dwight Howard, he's going to play in the first two games, so Sunday and Monday. He's going to play that back-to-back. But the coach said that he's probably going to miss a game at the end of the week.
See, this is the other reason I feel good about Capella, is Howard is sort of healthy, but he's not all the way there yet, and it could always go backwards. And if Howard isn't going to play, Capella is in line for like 32 to 33 minutes a game.
Right, and because they want to limit or they want to make sure that Howard gets to the playoffs, they're going to play him around 25 minutes a night when he plays back-to-backs. And that doesn't include tonight when he played 30 minutes in overtime. But so they're going to limit his minutes on those nights, and that's going to allow you to run someone like Capella out there. Or at least you can have confidence when you throw Capella out there that he's going to get a handful of minutes that he wouldn't otherwise get with Dwight Howard playing on back-to-backs. The Lakers, like we talked about, play a ton of games coming up. They play, I believe they play at least one back-to-back this week. I'm kind of spitballing there. Yeah, at least one back-to-back this week against in Philly and in Washington. I don't know what's going to happen with Kobe Bryant, so keep an eye out.
I think it's almost guaranteed he plays that Philadelphia game.
Mm-hmm. Unless they boo him. Then he...
I think there's a good chance they'll boo him.
Okay, so...
No, he always seems like he sort of has that Philadelphia game circled.
Yeah.
At least in his mind, so...
Okay, that's fair enough. But I like honestly, I don't know how he's going to last their entire nine-game road trip in 15 days playing 30 minutes a night. But we'll see.
I don't think this ends well for Kobe, but I think he tries to make it work like he did a couple of seasons ago when his body just breaks down. Like I just don't see him maintaining his body and being like, well, you know what? I need to play 20 minutes a night or I'm not going to get through this. I just see him being like, no, I'm playing 35 minutes a night until my body stops doing it.
Well, I would blame Coach Scott last year because he went out of his way to play Kobe Bryant 36 minutes a night, even though he knew he shouldn't have. And I think Kobe would admit to that. But I think this year they're, what's he at, like 20? I think he's near the 30 minute a night kind of threshold. Okay, so Milwaukee Bucks, right? They have a back-to-back this week. Jabari Parker hasn't played in both ends of a back-to-back yet this season. So he's either – there's a chance because the Bucks played Sunday, there's a chance he doesn't play Monday. And then they play another back-to-back at the end of the week, Friday, Saturday. So Parker might only play two games this week. So that's something to keep an eye out for because I don't know that he's been cleared yet for back-to-backs.
He's out of the starting lineup too. So
yeah. The Pelicans, they have a back-to-back this week. Now Drew Holiday, he's probably not going to play in both legs, even though he played in the last one. But that was because he only played 13 minutes the first night of a back-to-back, and
that was kind of a weird situation. They basically said he didn't use all of the minutes in the first game, so they were going to let him play in the second game.
Right, and now there's whispers that Tyreke Evans could return this week. And so I think something that Gentry might consider is play Holiday. If I look at the schedule, they play back-to-back Tuesday, Wednesday. Let's say he plays Holiday on Tuesday and then plays Evans on Wednesday when Holiday doesn't play. And that would mean that Holiday's only going to play twice this week if he does sit out. So I would knock him off the list of potential starts. And the Spurs. So we saw last Friday, Greg Popovich, he benched or he didn't even consider playing Tim Duncan and Ginobili. That was the start of 5 games in 7 nights. And so they're in the midst of that right now. I think that means that Tony Parker sits. I'm not positive that it's going to happen yet, but I think if Duncan and Ginobili get the night off, that at some point this week that Parker's going to get a night off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking here. I was looking next week. The Spurs play the Sixers and the Lakers. So if Parker doesn't sit this week, I think you can pencil him in for a rest day next week.
You think those might be some good candidates for a rest game, huh?
Absolutely. And the Spurs are doing well enough at the beginning of the season that it makes sense to, not even that it makes sense, but they can get away with it now because they're playing well. And that is the end of the back-to-back people to keep an eye on.
Well, thanks for sharing that with us.
Not a problem.
Hey, I want to talk about some guys to – you mentioned already a very specific streaming strategy. If you want to – I want to show or talk about with our listeners some other guys to stream. But before we get there, I have a little note to read from our friends at No Halftime. And I actually have a No Halftime challenge in mind for you, JJ, once we get you that Apple product mailed to you. We're going to have to start playing a little bit more. But yeah, No Halftime is a fantasy sports app. So you have to have the iTunes app, download the app, and it allows you to create player versus player fantasy challenges using players or team. So for example, we could do my Clint Capella versus your Alex Len.
You know I'm not going to take that, right?
I was just making sure you were still awake. Or we could go my Clint Capella versus your Kristaps Porzingis.
Oh.
Which would be a little bit more exciting.
Most definitely.
I feel like I've got you intrigued now. And I think what makes No Halftime unique is it is your lineup. Rather than have to set up a whole lineup and fit within a salary structure, it's just one player versus one player. So I kind of set you up there, JJ, to show everybody how it works there is all you and I have to do is work out which one player we want. So I could offer you Clint Capella versus Alex Len all I want, but I know you're not, if I know you're not going to take it, it doesn't do me any good. I've got to offer you one that I think I can win, but that is intriguing enough that you would take it as well, which is why I came back with my counter offer of Clint Capella versus Kristaps Porzingis.
That's a sneaky one.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of gamesmanship in this, actually. But you don't have to worry about salaries. You don't have to worry about creating a whole lineup. It's just one player versus one player. Or even, like, I think there are challenges where you can do team versus team. You can do that for all sorts of sports. Auto racing, which we haven't tried yet, JJ, but I think that's in our future. Basketball, either NBA or NCAA. Football, same thing. Golf, soccer, tennis, just about anything you can think of. And the best part is, just by listening to this podcast, you can get a free $25 bonus by using the promo code BBALL. That's BBALL. So go to the iTunes store, download the No Halftime app, enter the promo code BBALL and get $25. You can challenge me to it. I'll probably accept almost any challenge you're throwing out there with Clint Capella. I know that they are playing against the Pistons on Monday night. I like my chances with Capella. So sign up, get your free money, come play against me, come play against some of the other podcast hosts. And like I said, you just have to pick one guy. It's a lot of fun. All right, let's take a look at some of the streamers, JJ. So one tool that I've set up to help on the week 6 rankings on the dailyfantasybasketballpodcast.com is some pickup and streamer options. Gerald Bayless right now is the number one option on my list. He's owned in just 23% of ESPN leagues. He plays 4 games next week. He's moved in the starting lineup, but even before he did that, he was playing a lot of minutes and he was being very, very productive. So I think he's definitely worth an add now that he is, at least for the short term, he's in the starting lineup. Do you agree, disagree? How do you feel about picking up Bayless? I know we talked about that earlier just a bit.
Yeah, I picked him up like 3 days ago. Okay. Before he was in
before Japan, it was cool to pick him up? You picked him up?
I suppose, yeah. It was a 12-team roto league, I think it was, because I saw he was shooting well and he was adding a little bit of everything. So I figure why not give it a shot and see where it goes.
Now, so the other guy who's – oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say he's already – I couldn't get him for a head-to-head league because he was already taken before I added him in my roto league.
The other guy we need to mention – who's been at the top of this list a lot, but only has 3 games next week or for week 6. So he's not near the top is TJ McConnell. The reason I want to mention TJ McConnell is because he finally took a free throw. Now he missed it on Sunday, but he did take a free throw. So the wait has over. TJ McConnell has taken a free throw. You can all carry on with your normal lives now.
No. Okay. So do we adopt a new, like, do we adopt Steve Blake now since he's next on the list, or do we just...
There's no way I'm spending any part of my day wondering about what Steve Blake is doing.
Okay. He was like he was 200 minutes behind. I had to
look it up. I would rather wait for TJ McConnell's next free throw.
Oh, that watch is going to start. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Okay. There's also Evan Fournier. He hasn't blocked a shot yet this season.
That's the one we need to wait for.
He's up near 600 minutes. I think, what was the other one? Drew Holiday hasn't grabbed an offensive rebound yet this year. Aaron Aflalo had his first steal tonight, so that's off the list. there was a couple of other ones on there.
I didn't realize how many of these you had sitting in your back pocket.
I just looked them up after he attempted his free throw. I had to see who was next or who maybe we could adopt.
I want to wait for the Fournier block. Which one do you want to wait for?
Of course, the Fournier block. Because I remember Tom Haverstraw tweeted out when he was doing the Orlando Magic preview that last year Fournier had the lowest block rate of anyone 6'7" or taller in the league. So it looks like he's continuing that trend, and he's just not really focused on getting blocks, but more playing straight up. So,
right. So that's what you can look forward to each day in the box score to see if Evan Fournier did or didn't get a block.
And
start a Twitter account for it. At Evan Fournier, did Evan Fournier get a block tonight?
.com?
No, your Twitter account doesn't end with .com, does it?
If you spell it, DOT.
All right. Either way. If anybody starts that Twitter account, I'll be happy to retweet it and share it amongst the friends of the podcast here.
It has to have a .com at the end though. That's how we'll know it's legitimate.
Some of the other guys that made the week, made my list for stream options, Darren Collison, he's owned in 39% of ESPN leagues. So if you're in a competitive league, he may not be there. Myers Leonard, who has returned from an injury, he's coming off the bench still behind Noah Vonleh, but Noah Vonleh is not playing starter minutes. Might be worth a speculative add. There's definitely a chance he doesn't live up to the preseason hype, but there's also a chance that he does. And if you're going to get in on the ground floor, probably now is the time. Jay Crowder is still only owned in about 50% of ESPN leagues. I still like me some Jay Crowder, although next week is not ideal. He's only plays 3 games. Are there any, we already heard your stream advice. Are there any players, quick hitters that you would like to throw out that we've missed out on?
No, you touched all the ones I wanted to talk about, but I will say that I smiled when you said Leonard might not live up to the hype. as long as you are not a believer, I'm cool with that. I'm not really one either. And I don't know that he's going to jump right back into the starting lineup immediately.
No, I don't think he will. By the end of the week.
So I have him on my injured reserve spot in my roto, my 12-team roto league. But I don't, because when last time we talked about him, I compared him to an early 2010 Channing Frye. He'll get you 5 rebounds, maybe a block. He'll shoot good percentages, except Channing Frye was kind of terrible from the field.
More likely than not that he's a waiver wire player, but I do also recognize that there is some potential there for him to be much more than that. So I think it's worth a speculative add if you have a roster spot available. Like if he's going to blow up in the next week or so, it would be great to have him on your roster already, so that you can either use him or trade him. But I'm certainly not predicting that. I don't think that's the most likely outcome. I just recognize that it is a possible outcome.
I think he's just too much of a liability on defense for Stotts to play him more than 25 or 26 minutes a night. So it's really Lillard and McCollum chucking most of the time, and maybe Leonard will pick and pop a couple times a game. But because he'll be out on the perimeter, he's not going to get so many rebounds. I'm looking here. You threw out Caspi and Bellinelli on your list. I prefer Caspi over Bellinelli just because he has more diversity in what he can provide, even though he's not shooting well from the free throw line. So there's a trade-off there. If you want poor field goal percentage but a good free throw percentage, then you go Bellinelli for the threes. If you prefer a good field goal percentage but don't really care about the free throw percentage, then Caspi. But I think overall value, Caspi will net a good positive there. And your boy, Jay Crowder. So this is something I've been tracking. So he's at 2.3 steals a game, right?
Right.
He's averaging 2.8 steals in the home games that they play and 1.3 steals in the road games that they play. And the Celtics begin a 5-game road trip this week. We could see a couple of 0 steal games from Jay Crowder this week, all because he's on the road and he's playing in Mexico City.
Well, I don't have a very good read on how the scorekeepers track steals in Mexico City. So it could go the other way.
You're right. He could have an inflated steal game.
That's a really interesting stat, although it seems like that range is starting to tighten a little bit. It seemed much wider at the beginning, when you first started tracking that. It's coming closer to his split is not as wide as it used to be.
Yeah, I just like ripping you with that one. I think I added Gary Harris, but then he had the concussion, so I dropped him in a roto league. I'm looking at him, but I don't know that he's going to play this week. So he's someone to keep an eye on for the end of the week, but not at the beginning of the week. So don't add him right now.
And the last thing we always like to talk about is players to potentially bench or drop. These are guys that are outside of my top 156 rankings who play at least 3 games next week. Or in week 6, and who are owned in over half of ESPN leagues. Now, there's some regulars here. Chandler Parsons is still here. Tristan Thompson is still here. Aaron Aflalo is still here. I don't think we need to talk any more about those guys. We talk about them every week. The new guy to the list is Robin Lopez. What's your feel on Robin Lopez? Are you dropping him or are you benching him?
I'm fine dropping him because lately he's been getting into foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And this really just is a direct reflection of Derek Fisher's rotations and just how good Kristaps Porzingis has been playing. So Lopez is not someone who's going to have a bunch of gaudy stats. That's never been his game. And now that
even when he was playing a lot in Portland, his ceiling was very low. Like he was just barely getting enough stats to be relevant, you know, in like a perfect situation.
Yeah, he was helped out by his percentages more than anything. Mm-hmm. And so now that he's, you know, he's the primary box out guy, and that's when Porzingis can just step in and take those rebounds. So I don't think that he's been performing well enough to hold on to anyway. And the minutes thing, it's worrying. So until something catastrophic happens to Porzingis, I don't see a reason to hold on to Lopez if there's someone better on the waiver wire. And I don't know that there is anyone. And like in the standard league, I would think there is. But I'm not sure how deep we have to go before we annex him.
I could listen to you talk about Kristaps Porzingis all day. But I think we're going to end the show there. Before we go, though, is there anything else you want to share with the listeners?
Yeah, sure. Now that you set me up. Aaron Aflalo, season high, what was it, 31 points?
Okay.
Are you
so
are
high.
Congratulations. That is the correct answer.
All right, JJ, thanks for coming on. Appreciate all your good insights on the schedule.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. Again. And we will be back tomorrow night, or I guess Tuesday's podcast will be daily games focused with our friend Daniel Green. So until then, I hope you have a good time watching basketball, a good time enjoying life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. This is Mark Roberts, and this who you can find on Twitter at Mark F. Roberts. And this is JJ Kelly, who you can find on Twitter at
Twitter.com.
Twitter.com. Or OKCupid, right?
Chat Roulette. On the weekends. And eHarmony, if you're looking for a soulmate.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to get your profiles mixed up. Don't go to OKCupid. And rotowire.com.
Yep, that's me.
Awesome. All right, guys. Thanks a lot for listening. Please, if you haven't done so yet, go hit subscribe. Go rate and review the podcast. That would be a big help. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Thanks again. And bye.